If you don't believe that God has got his hands on this company, there's something wrong with you. Hey, folks, and welcome to another edition of BTP Sports Talk, Sideline to Sideline. I am your host, Mitchell Brock. Joining me on the panel today is the return of the great sports Morpheus, the one and only Big Rich Walker. Rejoining us, of course, we've got the Tennessee Volunteer himself, the one and only Damian Jolivet. And to my left, Laredo's finest. Around these parts, we call him Riley Cooper, except he never dropped that word that Riley Cooper dropped, at least not around us. He hasn't. The one and only, Mr. Mike Tula. Nah, Tula, that's my man. Y'all know how we get down.
So y'all forgot to play the Sith Lord music introducing.
So what we're going to talk about today is, as we know, Coach K won his fifth NCAA championship last week. This has been a year of legends. Bill Belichick won his fourth championship. Coach K won his fifth championship. So we're going to talk about Pop. Mm-hmm. Greg Popovich won his fifth. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about...
You should have seven, but go ahead.
Yeah. You're just like Belichick should have six, except for them doggone pesky Giants. So what we're going to talk about today is the greatest overall coach of all time.
Ever?
Ever. In four certain sports that we all know well. We weren't going to touch the sports that none of us really, really follow. Mm-hmm. Okay, and plus this is only an hour show. So we're going to do, breaking it down by college basketball, college football, the NFL, and the NBA. Mm-hmm. What we've done is we've taken the top eight from each of those four sports, breaking them down into brackets or regions, so to speak. And we're going to say who is BTP's, you guys remember the greatest quarterback of all time show. We're going to do BTP's greatest coach of all time. Okay? So we're going to start off with college basketball. Mm-hmm. And let me give you guys the lineup. The number one seed is John Wooden. Of course. Legendary John Wooden.
Yeah.
Against number eight, a respectable Rick Pitino, which his record wouldn't be respectable if he wasn't going against John Wooden.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with you, Tula. Rick Pitino, John Wooden.
I remember growing up, I would watch those Rick Pitino coaching videos about how to dribble, all that stuff, those VHSs. I have a soft spot for Pitino. Plus, he looks like John Gotti's right-hand man walking the sideline.
Oh, he does.
You got to go with the great John Wooden. Aside from, his success, what was it, 10 championships?
10 rings, yep.
10 rings.
12 Final Fours.
The pyramid of success. I mean, that just the motivational, aspect of it, I love that. And obviously hearing, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton, former players, they always talk about him as a man first, then coach second, mm-hmm. and obviously, he left quite the impression, so you got to go with him over my man Pitino. Although Pitino, I appreciate all the time you spent teaching me, the game of basketball via VHS.
One of these days, we are going to get an answer from Tula that is less than 30 seconds. I don't know when it's going to be, but one of these days, we're going to get a short answer from Tula.
Nick's never wary.
Nick's never wary. That's what makes you though, dog. But, Big Rich, who you rolling with?
You know what? I think I'm going to change things up just a little bit. Just kind of change the pace a little bit. Because, I mean, everybody's expecting me to pick Wooden. And you're right, I'm going to pick Wooden.
Okay,
but I'm going to change the pace another time. I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I mean.
Jalavet?
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's kind of unfair to really put these two against one another just due to the simple fact that the different eras. Mm. You know, Rick Pitino was coaching at age where it's a tournament of 64 rather than a tournament of what was when John Wooden
like 16.
Yeah. You know, the UCLA team would have run through some.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but he was getting the number ones every single year, though.
That's not his fault.
That's not his fault.
That means that you're the same great coach time, when the best players want to come to you.
Yes, but he had to go through more to. Rick Pitino has to go through more in order to get to the championship, John Wooden.
Okay.
Clearly.
I mean, I don't care.
See, look, you can play that violin.
I don't care when you coached. If you coached for 30-plus years and you won 80%, he coached for exactly 30 years, 46 to 75, and you coached and you won 80% of your games and you got 10 championships, 12 Final Fours, and 6 times coaching year, I don't care when you coached.
That's dominating.
Dominating.
Plus the streak.
Yeah, plus the streak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can never punish a guy for when he played because he did, you know. So it's a clean sweep. We got John Wooden over Rick Pitino. Now, this is an interesting one. We were talking about this before we came on. Dean Smith, legendary North Carolina coach who passed away a couple months ago, rest in peace, and UConn women's coach Gino Auriemma. Mm. Okay, now guys are laughing, but the guys won 10 championships. I mean, 18 not times tournament champion, 6 times coach of the year. You can't disrespect that, but. Tula, who you rolling with?
I'm not going to.
In 30 seconds or less.
I got you. I'm saving my long answer for later. I'm not going to disrespect. I'm just going to say maybe we should have had a separate bracket because I'm picking Dean Smith in this. It seems like it's two different sports we're judging here.
Well, it is. And that's the thing. That's why I did it this way. And there are only two women's coaches in the whole thing, him and Pat Summitt.
Trying to cause controversy, I understand. But I'm not taking the bait.
Lurch, who you rolling with?
Dean Smith. That took a lot of thought now, didn't it?
Joe LeVay, who you rolling with?
Dean Smith. I'm just going to be the chauvinist that I am.
Yeah. Look, I'm like this, man. Anybody who wins 87% of their games and 10 championships,
Doesn't matter what level you're coaching, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is the man.
Yeah.
But I'm going with Dean Smith because.
There it is. Thank you.
You know, 77%, 2 ships. Here's what really sold me on Dean Smith. 17 ACC championships. Mm. Keep in mind, the ACC has been the basketball conference with Duke, mm-hmm. Carolina. Mm-hmm. To win that bad boy 17 times, 11 Final Fours,
yeah.
4 times Coach of the Year, ridiculous.
God.
All right, so we got a clean Smith on Dean, a queen sweep on Dean Smith. Pat Summitt, Adolph Rupp.
Ooh.
Big Rich.
I really respect and appreciate everything that Coach Summitt brings to the game. Really.
We already know where we going.
I said going Adolph. I'm sorry.
Okay. Jalavet.
All right. I'm going to go Pat Summitt. This is the reason why. One, she was not only the coach, but she was their doggone trainer when she first got there as a coach. She was the coach and the person taping their ankles, training the girls. She was their rehab space. She was everything. She started coaching that team when she was like 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she made that, if it wasn't for her having, you know, her illness, she would still be coaching today.
Yep.
And I've actually walked through practices and actually seen them.
You're speaking like a volunteer.
Yeah. Doggone right I am.
Disney movie in the making right now.
Doggone right. I've actually walked through the practices and actually seen Pat Summitt. And I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Summitt could coach some dudes, to be honest, which is hard as she is.
Well, she tried to recruit you until she figured out you weren't Brittany Griner.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. See, exactly.
That's fine.
Except for the fact that I'm older than
Tula.
I don't mean to rup you the wrong way or loop you the wrong way.
He's here all week, bro.
I'm going to go way off.
You're going to rup?
Yeah.
I'm like this, man. This is what really got me with Pat Summitt. As long as she coached, she won 84% of her games, 8 championships, 8 NCAA championships, 16 SEC championships, 7 times Coach of the Year, and here's the kicker. She is the Tennessee head coach emeritus. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? That means no matter who else is the coach, I'm the coach. That's like Ricky.
She's the Ricky Jackson champion emeritus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Majors didn't even get the emeritus coach in Tennessee.
I mean, Adolph Rupp, 82%, 4 championships, 6 Final Fours, 5 times coach of the year.
I mean, she's her own. This is a legend.
Yeah, that's why I'm with y'all of it. I got to go with Pat Summitt over Adolph Rupp just because. So it's a tie. But
so how do we decide?
You know how we decide. The same way we decided to.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be Pat Summitt.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right. Okay. Final matchup. And this is, to me, this is like the championship, regardless of seeding. One of these guys is going to be in a championship, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Coach K and Bobby Knight.
Ooh.
Woo. 4-5.
Wow.
Tula, start with you.
I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment. I'm going to go Bobby Knight.
Why is that?
I'm going to go Bobby Knight. I know he's got 3. Coach K's got 5. But I feel like you can put a little bit of an asterisk on if you're comparing both of them, because Knight got Indiana and Coach K's got Duke, and I like Bobby Knight, man. I like Bobby Knight. I'm gonna go with Bobby Knight.
Okay, Bobby Knight, Lurch.
Throw your chair over if you disagree.
I was about to flip my chair over and throw it that way. I mean. No disrespect, Bobby Knight. You know, he's a great coach, but you have to acknowledge what Coach K has done. Coach K.
Javet.
Now.
No.
I'm not going to say nothing like. Okay. I'm going to have to go Coach K. Okay. Just due to the fact that he is the guy that the NBA players request for the U.S. Olympic team.
Yeah.
They like, hey, look, they want to play for him. They want to be there. And not only that, but in a day and age.
And Christian Laettner with you.
But in an era where players go in and out, he constantly get these guys to commit for him for some years because a lot of these guys, they can
they're
go
crazy
in.
About him.
Yeah, they're crazy
we saw
about
that
him.
When we
and it's not just, it's not just, hey, look, come play for me for a year like they do Calipari in Kentucky and go along your way and become a millionaire. They love Coach K. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Bobby Knight's intensity.
Yeah, I got to go with Coach K as well. I mean.
NBA wants him, too. They keep calling his name.
Here's what got me with Coach K. He's won 5 ships, tonight's 3. 12 regular season, 13 tournament championships, and 12 Final Fours. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Mm. 9 championship games. He's won 5, but he's lost 4. But to get there. Nine times.
Yeah.
And he's still in his prime.
Right.
He's nowhere near retirement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, it's Coach K. So now the semis are going to be, and we need to go through this quickly, is John Wooden against
Dean Smith.
Dean Smith.
Mm. Ooh, whoa, we're getting tough. Oh, we're getting tough.
Good Lord.
You would make me go first.
Absolutely. Because you sighed.
John Wooden, Dean Smith. I just had to say, Wooden was just so dominant. I gotta go by a hair, John Wooden, by a hair.
Jalavet, quickly.
Smith.
I'm just
gonna go Smith.
Tula.
I gotta go with John Wooden.
John Wooden. Okay. So we got. Who'd you pick, Rich?
Wooden.
You got Wooden.
Yeah.
And you pick. Wooden.
Wooden Smith. Wooden.
Wooden Smith. Okay. And.
You getting personal with this vote? Wooden.
Yeah. Who'd you pick?
Wooden.
Okay. Well, I'm going Wooden too. I mean, 80% in 30 years?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Guy coached 30 years, won 10 championships.
Yes.
A third of the time he coached, he won a championship.
Yeah.
I mean, that one there is just totally a toss-up.
You can't talk about all the Final Four appearances and everything.
So. Pat Summitt, Coach K.
Coach K.
Coach K?
Well, you already know I'm going Pat Summitt, so I don't even know. There's no point in asking me.
Tula?
Honestly, I don't think it matters because the next round I'm going with John Wooden. So for the drama, for the story, for the feel-good, for what she did to everybody in Tennessee, I'm going to go with Pat Summitt here.
Okay. I'm going K. So it's Coach K.
Yeah.
The finals. Out of the college basketball bracket, Coach K, John Wooden, Big Rich.
I'm going with, I got to stick with John Wooden, man. I got to.
Jalvet?
I got to go with Coach K, just due to the fact that he's had to play a lot more games to get to the championship than John Wooden.
Tula?
I got to go with the pyramid of success. I know people are going to argue different eras, but you can't knock someone for that. And yeah. But you know what? Coach K's career ain't over yet.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's still in his prime.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go with Wooden, too. Like you said, that was the perfect example, the pyramid for which everything is built. And you got to think.
His influence.
John Wooden never lost a championship game. K has lost. Wooden has won as many as K has been to plus one. So yeah. It's John Wooden. So the champion, the college basketball regional champion is John Wooden. So we got to take a break, folks. And when we come back, we will be talking some college football. So we'll be right back after this break.
When the Harris County Dome Stadium opened to the public on April 9th, 1965, the eyes of the world focused on Texas. It was the largest structure of its kind anywhere, and the world's first dome stadium. The New York Times called it the most important, distinctive, and influential stadium ever built in the United States. And they were right. The Astrodome. With its long lists of firsts, including the first animated scoreboard, the first skyboxes, and the first artificial turf, changed the way sports were played.
He's gone! It is gone!
Presidents, kings, astronauts, and cowboys. Everyone wanted to see the eighth wonder of the world. People gathered in the tens of thousands for Major League Baseball, NFL football, boxing, motorsports, concerts, and other entertainment events. Records were set here, hearts were broken here, and the Astrodome proved that iconic structures can attract global commerce, world recognition, and community pride. It did it then, and it will again. The Astrodome, that important piece of Harris County history, is primed to inspire once more. The vision that drove Judge Roy Hoffines and the legions of architects, engineers, and supporters of the Astrodome to greatness has been refocused. Dreams have been reimagined, plans redesigned, and the future of the Dome is even brighter than its past. As the gateway to Reliant Park, the Dome will transform the complex into an entertainment experience unlike any other in the world. From the outside, the Dome will still be recognizable as an historic and iconic structure. On the inside, the Dome's 175-foot ceilings and 350,000 square feet of unobstructed, column-free space provide opportunities not available anywhere else. The Dome will be updated with modern materials to a silhouette befitting the Houston landscape. Exterior ramps, ticket booths, substations, and transmission lines will be eliminated. Berms will be removed and the surrounding site will be lowered so guests can enjoy the outdoor areas. Restaurants and concession areas will be added, along with restrooms and other guest amenities. Beautiful park-like areas will provide shade and additional space for guests to gather. The interior of the Dome will be overhauled as well, creating unique venue space for a limitless array of events. Seating will be removed to create an unobstructed space. The floor will be raised to street level, and glass entrances will be added on the north, south, east, and west to bring in light and create views. Over the last 13 years, more than 59 million people have visited the Reliant Park complex, bringing millions of dollars of tax revenue and positive economic impact to Harris County. The new Dome will up the game even more, giving Reliant Park a competitive edge.
Already, organizers of events like the Offshore Technology Conference, the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Championship, and the Shell and Pennzoil Grand Prix of Houston have publicly supported plans for the Dome. And that's just the beginning. The Dome will provide an unparalleled venue for experiences, sporting events, trade shows, graduations, and other entertainment and community activities. Around the world, there are but a few iconic landmarks that have become synonymous with the cities they represent. In Paris, it's the Eiffel Tower. In Sydney, it's the Opera House. In Houston, it's the Dome. It's an important part of our history and an integral part of our future. The Dome. The best is yet to come.
Hey, folks, and welcome back. Thank you guys for your support as always. And if you're not following us on social media, make sure you do so. We're on Facebook at BTP Sports Talk. We're on Instagram at BTP underscore sports. We are on Twitter at BTP Sports. And make sure you guys are subscribing to our YouTube channel, which is Bring the Pain Sports. We see you guys watching the videos, but the subscriptions helps us out more than you'll ever know. Of course, here at BTP, we know that there's no us without you. So we're talking about the greatest coach of all time overall. We got John Wooden coming out of the college basketball bracket. So now let's change it up a little bit and go to college football. Yeah, everybody's shaking their heads like, yeah, it's going down. So the number one seed, of course, the one and only Paul Bear Bryant against the number eight seed, Bo Schembechler.
Wow.
Legendary Michigan coach.
Wow.
Go Blue. Mm-hmm. You know, me being a lifelong Michigan fan, I knew what Bo Schembechler was about, but I didn't realize. I looked up his accomplishments and his record, and I wasn't as impressed as I thought I would be, believe it or not. So, Tula.
Well, I know you're a Michigan guy, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm going to go.
I see what you did there.
I'm gonna go with Bear Bryant on this one. Six championships, 14 SEC championships. You got to go with him.
Okay. Rich?
Going Bryant. His track record speaks for itself.
You can just say the Bear and everybody know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bear.
The Bear. Me too. As diehard Go Blue as I am, man, I got to go with the Bear. And this is what Bo Schembechler, believe it or not, he didn't even win a national championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He won several Big Tens. He won a Big Ten 13 times, which was arguably the toughest division or conference in college football at that time.
Right.
So that's respectable. Six-time Big Ten Coach of the Year, didn't win a National Coach of the Year, and this is what turned me off about Bo. He was 5-12 in bowl games. So when
about his record against Michigan, though? I think that, I mean, against Notre Dame. Ohio and Notre Dame.
We lead both of those series.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of where he made his money.
That was, you know, growing up in Michigan, it was always.
That's like a championship game.
It is. It was the big. We put more emphasis on the Big Ten championship than national championship. And the Rose Bowl. Back then, it was conference ties.
Right.
Michigan cared about was the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
We didn't care. Beat Ohio, win the Rose Bowl. Beat Notre Dame, beat Ohio, win the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. That's our national championship. And he did that. Mm-hmm. But against the Bear. You know.
Not even close.
Sorry. Right. So, round two, speaking of Notre Dame, Newt Rockne, win one for the Gipper, and legendary Nebraska coach Tom Osborne. Mm-hmm. I'll start with you on this one, Tula.
I mean, I know the legacy of Rockne, but, you know, maybe it's a personal thing. I saw those, 90s Nebraska teams.
Tommy Frazier, Lawrence Phillips, all those guys.
Tearing it up. I'm gonna go with Tom Osborne.
Osborne. Okay. Yeah. Jalvit?
Osborne.
Big Rich?
Osborne.
Wow. I expected somebody to pick Newt Rockne because I'm going Osborne too. I mean, this guy 255-49. Are you
ridiculous.
Kidding me? And three ties, three ships, 12 Big Eight. At the time it was the Big Eight. 12 Big Eight championships and 7 times Coach of the Year.
Ridiculous.
Unreal.
Yeah.
But he still stole half of our championship in 97. I ain't forgot about that. But I'm gonna pick him. All right. Now, disclaimer. And when I sent out the run sheet for this segment, I made sure I told everybody, personal stuff aside, Joe Paterno, number three against number six, Woody Hayes. Regardless of how you feel about that situation at Penn State, we're talking football. Tula.
Joe Pa was there for a while, but, I mean, Woody Hayes, he's got five national championships to Joe Pa's two. That should be enough right there.
All right, Joe Pa, Javet.
No, I'm going with Hayes.
Oh, yeah. My mistake. Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I love Joe Pa. I just love what he was about as far as what he meant to Penn State football. By the time all that stuff, forget all that stuff.
Penn State football, nothing.
Penn State wouldn't
Penn State
have been.
University.
Wouldn't have been Penn State University without Joe
Pa. I mean.
He built that university.
He went beyond the football program.
Yeah. And the way that he brought those players into his home and he made them feel like family, I got to go with Joe Pa. I mean, the most wins ever, and then they got negated because he was so old that he couldn't comprehend what somebody was saying. Come on, man.
Big Rich.
For real.
Joe Pa is college football royalty. I can't repeat anything that you didn't already say, but what he means to that program and to the sport itself, I mean, speaks volumes. I got to go with Joe Pa.
I'm going to shed a tear. I got to go with Woody Hayes. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they played in the same conference in the same era. And Joe, go ahead.
I was going to ask what the record is.
Woody Hayes has 13 Big Ten championships to Joe Pa's three. And Joe Pa coached for 6 million years. And he won seven less Big Ten championships. The record, of course, goes to Joe Pa because he coached longer. But national championships, like you said, Hayes has five, Joe Pa has two. So he's killing him in national championships and conference championships, and they played in the same conference at the same time. I got to give it to Woody Hayes. So, of course, I'm always the tiebreaker.
So what you're saying is you like that school in Ohio a lot more
than Michigan. It hurts me. You know it hurts, but you know I'm real. It hurts me, I'm real.
What school did he coach?
Big Blue, I apologize, but you know me, I got to keep it real. You know, he coached that school in Columbus.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so we go from not the state, just saying the city
Columbus.
Now. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Matter of fact, the name of the stadium, the street is called Woody Hayes Boulevard. You know, so, all right, this is an interesting one. Of course, 4 and 5 is always good. Eddie Robinson, number 4, legendary Grambling State University coach. Number 5, Bobby Bowden from Florida State. And we talked about this a little bit before we came on the air. Joe Levitt, I heard your mouth open, so you must be ready.
I'm going Bobby Bowden.
Bobby Bow?
Bobby Bowden. I'm just going, the man recruited his behind off, built that program for years and years and years. He built the program so much that when he had cancer, he wouldn't tell a recruit that he had cancer because he was afraid he was going to lose the guy.
Right.
And he coached through it, you know, all other kinds of stuff. I mean, dude had prime time.
Can't disrespect that.
And had Randy Moss at one point in time. But.
Right.
I mean, I understand. This is one of those brackets you kind of can flip-flop. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to do right now. I mean, I understand the significance, Eddie Robinson. And if you're going on that, you know, if you're placing more emphasis on that, maybe he's got the edge. But I'm just going off of, you know, off of Jolivet, you know, kind of production. I remember those Florida State teams were killer.
They were stupid. I mean, they were just stupid.
It's absolutely crazy. And you're saying, oh, we got all those players. Well, he recruited.
Yeah.
Recruited all his players. He's the coach. That's what he's supposed to do. So, Bobby Bowden, I'm going with him.
Bobby Bowden's Florida State teams could have beaten some of the O-N. I'm sorry.
Before we started this segment, we were talking about the 96. I'm sorry, Florida State championship team. And we were just looking at the roster. It looked like an NFL roster. It was just incredible, the teams he had. Now, me, myself, I picked Eddie Robinson. I mean, y'all got me on this one. But I picked Eddie Robb because you got to think about this guy, 408, 165, and 15. 17 SWAC championships, 9 Black College national championships. Now, a lot of people want to discard HBCU football. Me, myself, being an HBCU football alumni, of course, I'm a little biased. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, oh, that's Black College football. You got to think about it. Back when Eddie Robb coached, Blacks were not allowed to play at the big schools.
Right.
You know, if you were a top recruit in Louisiana, you couldn't go to LSU. You went to Southern or you went to Grambling. You know, if you were a top recruit here in Texas, you didn't go to UT, A&M. You went to PV or you went to TSU. So Eddie Robinson, look, this guy put over 200 players in the NFL.
Yeah.
So he had top-notch players at that time. Now it's a little bit more wide open now, but he's just legendary. But you know what? Y'all won. So is Bobby Bo. Hate y'all.
You hate us.
Yeah. Sorry. I said it all out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, you're not.
You're right. All right. So now the semis are the Bear versus Tom Osborne. Tula?
Man, I gotta go. I can't argue against Bear.
Can't argue against the Bear. Looks like this might be a all number one seeds.
Bear. Bear.
The Bear.
I wish I brought my hat with me. The Bear.
Oh Lord. The hat. Yeah. They gave out Bear Bryant hats at the Bear Bryant Award, which we covered the past two of them, and it looks ridiculous on both of us because it's so small and our heads are like ginormous. But yeah, me too. It's the Bear, man, all day. So. Woody Hayes, Bobby Bowden. Tula, mm-hmm. Heard somebody sign over there.
You got to kind of look at these, especially college football coaches, as architects as well. And the teams that they construct and how they dominate. And I'm having a hard time giving that, you know, having that said.
You're buying time. I know you're right now.
I am. Time. They're kind of the same area. I'm going Woody Hayes.
Wow. The upset.
A little bit of drama.
John Wooden and Woody Hayes?
Mm-hmm. No.
Woody Hayes, Bobby Bowden.
Bobby Bowden, Woody Hayes.
Bobby Bowden, Woody Hayes? I'm going to have to go with Woody Hayes. I am.
It's like another four or five.
I'm going about it.
Once again, whew, that is tougher than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it is.
That blue blood.
Two coming. Nationals, five Nationals. 12 conference, 10 conference. I gotta go with Hayes too, man.
You can't lose with either one of them.
I gotta go Hayes. So it's Woody Hayes. So now you got the Bear against Woody Hayes.
Mm.
Real quickly, Tula.
Well, we're gonna have to hibernate Hayes because I'm going with the Bear on this one.
Lurch?
The Bear.
The Bear?
Yeah.
Bear.
Clean sweep. Woody, I know I'm a big blue, and I rode you long as I could, but the Bear is just...
too dominant.
Yeah.
That's mythical, man.
Yep. So that's it, man. We got Bear Bryant coming out of the college football bracket. So just a quick recap, the college basketball bracket, we got John Wooden, which was the number one seed. College football bracket, we got Paul Bear Bryant, Alabama, and A&M coach. A lot of people forget he coached at A&M, too. Coming out of the college football bracket. So when we come back, we're going to jump into the NBA. So we're going to take a very, very quick break, and we'll be back with the greatest NBA coach of all time, according to BTP, Mitchell Brock, and we'll be right back.
Leah Frazier Dixon here, and we're at the Shell Open, and I've got my dear friend Mark Dusbabic, who is the PGA rules official. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What is that exactly, Mark?
Well, if you look at all the other sports and the officials and you see with the NCAA basketball tournament going on, the officials getting involved in the games, we're the opposite. We're actually enjoyed and liked by most of the players and the public and respected a little bit more, I guess. But we don't run into the issues and the criticism that a lot of the other professional officials run into. But every sport has to have officials, and so we're the golf ones.
Full disclosure, everybody, I've known Mark since college, and back when I knew Mark, Mark was coming from being a runner-up with Mr. Basketball in high school, a prolific, wonderful college football player. How in the heck did we transition from football to golf?
Well, let's full disclosure again that I used to beat you in one-on-one, so we used to have our little one-on-one matchups. But you know what? I was when I retired from football, I was looking for something else to do, and I bounced around in some financial jobs, and I kind of had to sit down, talk with myself, and had to find something I really and truly loved, and I always went back to golf. Everything kept going back to golf, and so I figured, how can I find a job in golf? So I searched around. I started at the bottom as a volunteer.
That typically is a wonderful way to start anything that you love, because you know, the saying goes that if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And a lot of times when we volunteer, we're volunteering in things that we love. So I completely understand that. Full disclosure, again.
Not too much.
No. Okay. No, I'm kidding. So talk about your days, because out of college, when you were playing football, you were drafted by the Houston Oilers. And so you have several ties actually here in Houston still. So talk about that from back then till now, being here at the Shell Houston Open.
Well, that was a past life for me, actually. I mean, it was so long ago. It was 1987 that I was drafted here. So a lot of changes, a lot of people and personnel changes. I don't even recognize areas that I go back to. So I get lost going around Houston. It's such a big city. And I love coming back here, though. The people are so nice and so friendly. And the fact that I started here and can actually say I lived here 2.5 years, it's a joy to come back.
Indeed. Well, folks, we are just so pleased that Mark Dusbobic had time to share with us today. And if you get a chance, come on out to the Houston Shell Open. This is Leah Frazier-Dixon. Bring the pain, sports.
Hey, folks, and welcome back. As we are, you all know, we are discussing the greatest overall coach of all time. Coming out of the college basketball bracket, we got John Wooden. Coming out of the college football bracket, we got Bear Bryant, both number one seeds in their respective brackets. And now we're going to go to the NBA. Again, this is something that I did. I just took the top 8 from each sport, seeded them according to what I thought. So again, this is nothing official. This is just something I made up. And so far, it seems to be flowing pretty good. So the number one seed was Phil Jackson, obviously. You know, 11 championships. It's hard to believe. Actually, it's not hard to believe. But he won 11 championships, and he only won Coach of the Year once. Go figure. Well, talk to me. His opponent is number 8, Jerry Sloan.
Ooh. Jerry Sloan is, I feel like he is not given credit. I feel like he's a better coach than we know him to be, simply because
he didn't win a championship.
Utah.
Yeah.
Utah.
Small market.
No one wants to go to Utah to play, and, you know, he's going up against Phil Jackson in this bracket, and in real life, he couldn't beat Phil Jackson, so I'm going Phil Jackson here. But Jerry Sloan.
Very underrated.
Very underrated.
Because he never won a championship. Mm-hmm. But how many teams won championships in the 90s?
I remember it was a big deal.
Yeah, because Phil Jackson was in the way, though. With
well,
you know who.
No, Phil Jackson wasn't in the way.
Well, he with you know who.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
so, Rich,
yeah.
You got the floor. Go ahead with it.
Yeah, from a
I know.
Now, if we're talking pure X's and O's, I'm going with Sloan in that dialogue. But, you know, it's more than just, you know, getting the whiteboard and drawing up plays.
Getting the what?
Getting a whiteboard and drawing.
Oh, the whiteboard.
Yeah.
And I thought you said it's more than getting a whiteboard and drawing. Like, you need more than John Stockton.
But that's true also.
Okay, you said whiteboard.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's true also. But, you know, it's more than that. It's the mind games that he played with players. Whatever it is that he did to motivate them worked.
Zen master.
The Zen master thing worked. He took people to the promised land. So you got to go with Phil Jackson.
Gotta go with Phil. I mean, how can you go against him?
Yeah.
I mean, just like you said, I'm not going to repeat it, but when players actually dug themselves in a hole, he forced them to dig themselves out of it.
Yeah.
He wouldn't call timeout just to war before you get a break.
So do you
and
think
Bert
that
call mercy on you?
We're pretty much going on accomplishments. We're not, you know, do you think they agree that Jerry Sloan, and I agree too, that Jerry Sloan is a better coach overall, X's and O's coach.
Wow.
X's and O's wise. Now,
I know.
Do you think Jerry Sloan could out-coach Phil Jackson in a 7-game series, even though they played in the finals twice and Jerry Sloan lost both times?
Yeah. If the circumstances are different, if the players are different, maybe.
If that's my whole argument against Phil Jackson.
That's the whole thing.
Now, I'm picking Phil Jackson out of respect, but every championship Phil Jackson won, he had the best player in the league at the time on his team.
The guy.
Doug Collins. Yeah, the same
this is
team.
True. This is
and,
true.
And I really, to have this argument kind of leveled, you would want Jerry Sloan to be a Laker coach because then, you know, he'd be able to actually get free agents and all that stuff. But even when Shaquille O'Neal went to Los Angeles, that Utah team
spanked that Laker team. They would beat everybody up. It didn't matter who you – Rockets,
they beat them four
Spurs.
Games to one year, didn't they?
I just remember that. Yeah. At that time, it was a big deal to win even a regular season game at Utah. Mm-hmm. At Utah. Mm-hmm. In Utah. I mean, so that tells you something.
With the altitude and the crowd and all that stuff.
Sloan got a bad rap on the seating, I think. But you're going
up you got to hit the rest of the guys, though.
Going up against Phil
Jackson. So, yeah, it's Phil Jackson. I mean, all right, number two is Red Auerbach. Of course, a legendary Boston Celtics coach. And he's going up against Don Nelson, another very underrated coach because he never won the championships. So talk to me about – well, I'll start with you, Jalavet. Go ahead.
Don Nelson and who?
Red Auerbach.
Red Auerbach. You know, none of these guys are going to make it to the final position.
So Red Auerbach is the second seed now.
Yeah, but Red Auerbach.
Okay.
Red, no doubt. His accomplishments, I mean, speak for yourself. Don just couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
I liked that Warriors team that Nelson had with Steven Jackson, Baron Davis, who couldn't get past Jerry Sloan's Jazz team. But, Red Auerbach, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I just want to say something nice about Don.
Tula always turns into a mobster, like, hey, come on. He turns into a wise guy, like me, all the time. I don't know how he does that. Yeah, nine ships and only one-time coach of the year. That's saying a lot.
That tells you how much those awards mean.
Yep.
They're just like the MVPs, they don't mean anything.
Yeah, I'm going with Red, too. I mean, Don Nelson won three Coach of the Years, but he never even won a Western Conference Championship. Yeah. So you can't. But his record, I had to throw him on there. Number three, Pat Riley. Mm. Legendary Pat Riley against number six, another very underrated coach because of his playing days, Lenny Wilkins. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he's got a ship. 1979, Seattle Sonics. Tula, who you got?
Going with Pat Riley. Lakers won some championships there. Had a great Knicks team in the 90s. That
people forget about.
Yeah.
And the Heat.
Wasn't he the coach when
he was the coach when they
lost to the Rockets?
He was the coach. Yes.
Yeah.
I just got to go with him.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's
Pat Riley, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Pat Riley.
P-A-T.
Here's a quick little did you know. Pat Riley has a championship at every level possible in the NBA. He won a championship as a player with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
He won a championship as an assistant with the Lakers. He won a championship as a head coach with the Lakers and the Heat. Mm-hmm. And now he's got two championships as a front office executive with the Heat. Every level possible, this man has a championship.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Smells like a winner.
Yeah. Pat is the man, dude. And again, went to the finals with the Knicks. And then took the Rockets to seven games, if I'm not mistaken.
And mm-hmm. John Starks is the reason why he doesn't have a championship.
Choke boy.
Yeah.
Choke boy. Yep. So, yeah, Pat Riley in the clean sweep. You said
Yeah, right. I said Pat.
John all Starks right. missing all those open shots.
Here's an interesting one. I can pretty much answer for you. Number four, Greg Popovich.
Oh, that's not interesting.
Number five. Interesting for us, but he's going against my man, Daddy Rich. Number five, Chuck Daly. Rest in peace.
Ooh.
You ain't got an answer. He's a Spurs fan, in case y'all ain't figured
out. Well, I'm objective, though. See, unlike you guys, I'm able to be objective and not be emotional about this. And Chuck Daly, those Pistons teams, he was able to beat the Jordan teams that apparently any coach, if they were given that Jordan Bull team, can just win a championship just like that. But apparently these guys didn't get the memo. But anyway, we're going Popovich on this one. Come on. I just wanted to step in that jab.
I didn't realize we acquired a fertilizer sponsor, but thanks for introducing. I'm going to go, it's closer than you think, but only because of the hardware, I'm going to go with Pop.
I have to go with Pop just due to the fact that he doesn't care what the NBA says. He's going to do what he want to do.
And do it.
He's an outlaw.
We were talking about like it that. Before the camera started rolling, how he's the only coach that's got the gall to rest his players and not make excuses. Say, yes, I'm resting my guys for the playoff. You don't like it, piss off. Yeah. But he keeps winning championships.
Yeah.
You know, me being a Detroit boy, of course, I want to say Chuck Daly because he's got went to the finals three times. Of course,
Bad
we lost
boys.
In 88. to the Lakers, and then they won the two championships, and his record, 209, 156, and one.
And the gold medal, too. Gold medal.
And a gold medal, absolutely. Yeah. Right. The dream team.
I think this is a longevity thing with Popovich Daly.
Exactly.
It was closer than it appears.
Yeah. Coach Daly's reign wasn't long enough, but what he did in the time he coached can't be ignored.
And that was golden era, too.
Oh, yeah. When the NBA was, when you could play.
Hey, he beat Showtime. I mean, that's his line.
He did. Should have had a repeat. You're a Lakers fan, so I know you remember. Yep. In 88, on that phantom foul in game six, where we could have wrapped it up, a phantom foul, Kareem knocked down both free throws, and when it went to game seven, I knew we were going to lose. You know, so.
So the Laker favoritism with the refs, it was in the 80s.
No, everybody, everybody knows that was a bad call. He didn't even breathe on Kareem. Yeah, you know,
oddly enough, the Lakers backed it yet again.
And that's another one of those, they talked about it on the Bad Boys documentary. The champagne was already in the Pistons locker room. Kareem makes the free throws, go to game seven, Lakers win it. So Chuck really should have had three rings, but it's another story. Mm-hmm. I'm off my Detroit Pistons soapbox now. All right, so the semis are the Zen Master and Mr. Cigar, Red Auerbach.
Ooh.
Big Rich.
You know what? I'm going to go with the upset here. I'm going to go Red.
That's not that big of an upset.
Not that big of an upset. Yeah. But I think they're similar in stature. You know, both being guys that coach stack teams in a – having legendary players on their team. But I think if you were to strip away some of their talent, Red would be more successful because he's more of a game manager than Phil is.
I'd go for that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep it as it is, and I'm just going to go with the Zen Master, Phil Jackson.
1-1?
This is a – these are two myths going at each other, two legends. Obviously, Auerbach preceded Jackson. It was in an era where maybe it wasn't as competitive or as difficult to win a championship back then, simply because of condensed size versus when Phil Jackson did it. And Phil Jackson took two teams. He had how many three-peats? Three-peats?
Phil Jackson?
Phil Jackson?
Yeah.
Two three-peats.
But
I mean, I'm going with Phil Jackson.
Okay. Well, I'm going with Red Auerbach, and I'm a Detroit fan, so I hate Boston and Chicago and the Lakers. But Red, this is why, 11 championships to 9, both have one coach of the year. But the only reason I'm going to give Red Auerbach the nod is because he was also the GM at the same time.
Oh, he's got 11.
Oh.
Jackson got 11.
What'd I say, 10?
Yeah. Yeah. 9.
No,
Auerbach has 9. Auerbach has 9, and Phil has 11.
Yeah.
But he was also the GM at the same time. So I got to go with Auerbach on that one. And we got to go through this one quickly. So Red Auerbach, is just the number one seed has been knocked out. Pat Riley, Greg Popovich, real quick.
Greg Popovich, come on.
Of course.
Riley?
Pop.
Right. You'll be right or wrong.
I'm going Pat.
You're wrong.
But I'm also the host. Yeah. So
you
won at
so many different levels.
Yeah, exactly. That stat I gave y'all about on every level. Come on.
He's a coach though, right?
Coach. Yeah.
We're talking about NBA coach.
We don't have time to debate.
NBA coach.
We don't have time to debate it right now.
This is a flawed debate.
Okay. So anyway, the finals real quickly is Pat Riley versus Red Auerbach.
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 Got to go with Auerbach. So that's it. Red Auerbach comes out of the NBA bracket, and we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
How y'all doing? This is Mike Tula with Bring the Pain Sports here at the 2015 Shell Houston Open. This is the final day of the tournament, and we are winding down. Last year, we had an exciting finish. It was a playoff between Matt Jones and Matt Kuchar. Matt Jones ended up winning last year. Both golfers returned for this year's tournament. Matt Jones already being cut. Matt Kuchar is 3-under for today, and other notable golfers at the tournament, Sergio Garcia, 8-under. Phil Mickelson is at 11-under. And going into the tournament today, Jordan Spieth, 21-year-old out of Dallas, Texas, was leading until J.B. Holmes was having a heck of a day, going 9-under for the day, pulling ahead at negative 17. Jordan Spieth, he's 2 strokes behind, and Johnson Wagner is also in the mix as well. It's going to be an exciting finish. And we will keep you posted here at Bring the Pain Sports. This is Mike Tula. signing out.
Hey, folks, and welcome back. So we're doing the greatest coach of all time. So far, out of the college basketball bracket, we got the legendary John Wooden. Out of the college football bracket, we've got the legendary Bear Bryant, both number one seeds in their respective brackets. The first upset came in the NBA, where the number two seed, Red Auerbach, defeated the legendary Zen master, Phil Jackson. He was the number two. So now our final segment is going to be the NFL, which that's what we do here. Number one seed, no doubt about it, was Vince Lombardi. Mm. I mean, the freaking trophy is named after you know. Mm-hmm. So Tula briefly talked to me about Vince Lombardi against the number eight seed, Tom Landry.
This might be upsetting to some people on this panel.
No names?
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to go with Vince Lombardi here.
Get a blocker right here, seal the alley, and you're running up the alley. I'm going Vince Lombardi.
Richard?
You're really going to ask me this question. I have to stifle my vomit to say this because even though he somehow managed to squeak out a win or two against America's team, NFL championship game.
They never played the Steelers in a championship.
Vince Lombardi?
No, you said America's team. They never played the Steelers.
I said America's team. I mean America's team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though he managed to squeak out a couple of wins against Landry and America's team, sir. I'm going to go with Vincent Lombardi.
Okie dokie then.
I'm still waiting on Richard to go to Green Bay and smack some cows since they're responsible.
Oh, I'm going up there this year. Yeah. Hey. I'm not going to repeat the Booker T speech, but hey, Green Bay Packers, we're coming after you. Okay, I will be in Lambeau this year for the Cowboys versus Packers. We're playing them on the road. Just letting you know that.
Well, if you're going to be there, I'm going to be there.
Sir.
let's go. Yeah, I got to go with Lombardi. I mean, they both have two Super Bowls. Oh, but wait, Tom Landry has six NFL championships because that was before the Super Bowl. And then he won the first two Super Bowls. Come on, you can't disrespect that. So Vince Lombardi. Bill Walsh, number two. Mm. Number seven, Don Shula. I'm gonna start with Richard Walker on this one.
You can start with me.
Absolutely. Bill Walsh, Don Shula.
Bill Walsh was the architect of the West Coast offense,
there you
which
go.
Transcended
mm-hmm. football.
The entire football, period.
On every level.
On every level.
Yep.
And the fact that he managed to
here we go.
Squeak out a win against America's team in the 1980 NFC Championship game. Some guy.
82.
We met him at the.
Dwight Clark.
That guy.
Really nice.
Whatever his name is.
We had dinner with Dwight Clark.
He squeaked out a lucky catch and managed to help them defeat America's team. So I will go with
America's
that.
Team's been doing an awful lot of losing in this segment. I'm just saying.
I'm starting to think that you purposely set this up to where everything went against America's team.
I'm still salty about my Lions losing. But I'm salty
to
as pork rinds right now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Don Shula the only coach to actually coach a perfect team?
Correct.
I was wanting to see who was going to bring that up.
In 72? So there's no way I can't. I mean, even though Bill Walsh changed and revolutionized
what did he
football.
What through that, though?
Nothing. But even though he did change and revolutionize football.
That was different.
So you're going with Don Shula?
I have to, just because he's the only one to ever coach a perfect season.
Right. You're going off of something that no one's ever done. Now, Don Shula, you got an argument, but you can't go against Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh, four championships in the 80s. He's an innovator. Got to go with Bill Walsh.
Okay. Actually, he's only got three. George Seifert has that fourth.
Not bad.
So, but still, I'm with Jolivet. I had to go with Don Shula, too, simply because he's got two Super Bowls to Walsh's three. People forget him when he coached the Colts. He won a Super Bowl with the Colts.
I forgot he wasn't on the four championship team. That's something.
Yeah. Five AFC championships, 14 division championships, and six times coach of the year to Bill Walsh's two, and he coached an undefeated team. I had to go with Don Shula, too.
I don't blame you.
So, Don Shula, first upset.
Wow.
Well, I'm not sad to see a 49er lose.
Of all people, you're the only one that picked the 49ers. Right? Of all people, Bill Belichick, number three, against number six, Paul Brown, legendary Cleveland Browns coach. Tula.
I'm going to go keep this quick, go prisoner of the moment. I'm going to go Belichick.
Okay. Javet?
Paul Brown or Bill Belichick?
Mm-hmm. Pushing the glasses.
I'm going with Bill Belichick just due to the fact that it's so consistent and it's hard to do what he's been doing year in and year out in this day and age, as far as especially in the turnover rate that these right. coaches have with their day of free agency. Back then, when you had a team, you had a team. Mm-hmm. They stayed. Together. This day in free agency, he takes nobodies. Well, now I'm not saying there's nobodies, but no, there are people. Right. There are people that you would be like, him? What is he going to play? I've never heard of this guy.
He got
and all of a sudden,
that was a cook at Popeyes
and turned him into
the turnover so, in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I mean, you know,
he took the Popeyes cook and turned him into a Super Bowl MVP. Well,
Bill Belichick takes guys that you never heard of before they went to New England and then never heard of them after they left New England.
Yeah, exactly.
So who you going with, Big Rich?
Belichick.
Okay.
Howard speaks for us.
That's it. And over three different decades, he's won one in three separate decades.
Mm-hmm.
So Belichick.
That was easy.
Not decades. I'm sorry, eras. Yeah. He ain't been coaching that long, but three different eras. So number four and five are the legendary George Halas, Baltimore Colts, and Chuck Knoll. Oh, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh,
let's start with y'all.
Chuck Knoll. Chuck Knoll.
Of course, he's a Steeler.
Four Super Bowl titles, steel curtain.
Who did they beat for a couple of those
championships? Oh, they beat the Cowboys for a couple of those championships.
So, perfect segue. Big Rich, who you rolling with?
You know what? I think I think we know who I might pick, right?
I thought you was going to pick Don Shula, too, but you picked Bill Walsh, so.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm gonna pick Chuck Knoll.
Chuck Knoll.
See, look, he know he recognizes.
He's going home tonight.
Gonna complete the upset. Go with Chuck Knoll.
It's not, Chuck Knoll. So we got the semis are going to be Vince Lombardi versus Don Shula, and Bill Belichick versus Chuck Knoll. Tula, Lombardi, Shula.
Lombardi.
The trophy.
The trophy.
Repeat those again.
Like on Family Feud, repeat the question. We trying to buy time.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Steve Lombardi. I'm thinking wrestling. Vince Lombardi and Don Shula.
Oh, Vince Lombardi.
Okay. Yeah, Vince Lombardi. So, the number three versus number five, Bill Belichick versus Chuck Knoll. Tula.
This is kind of like the Coach K versus
absolutely
the other back, because one of them's still going and one of them, his career is not over yet. However, I'm gonna go with Chuck Knoll.
Chuck Knoll, upset for you. I thought you were gonna say Belichick. I know who you got.
You doggone right. You know where I'm going.
Belichick.
Wow, and I was going Belichick too. So it's a tie. What that means. So it's going to be Belichick. So now it's number one, Vince Lombardi, versus number three, Bill Belichick in the finals.
Ooh.
Tula.
I don't imagine this being that dramatic. I'm going Lombardi.
Richard?
If you tried to take the ear out of the trophy, it ain't going to work. Sorry. No deflategate here.
Damien?
Can we, take, these all Madden teams and, put them on TV and just put on computer and just let them play and see who wins.
Like they did on Rocky Balboa.
Mm-hmm. No, but honestly, you have to go Vince Lombardi, the guy who the trophy is named after.
Absolutely.
You have to.
We got about three. I'm going with Lombardi, too. So we got about 3 minutes left in this segment, and we're at the final four. We've got John Wooden versus Bear Bryant. College football versus college basketball. And then we got Red Auerbach. So that's perfect. We got college against pros. So we got Wooden and the Bear, and then Red Auerbach against Vince Lombardi. Tula. And this is where it gets interesting now, because now you got to think outside the box because you're comparing different sports.
Right. And I'm not going to be able to have enough time to give my perfect preface to my argument.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make my decision based off of this. The pros, the pro coaches, they get the products that are created in college, right? So they're going to send off their best players, all that stuff.
Okay.
So for that reason alone, I'm not going to go with Arbach or Lombardi. This is really between John Wooden and...
So you're picking John Wooden?
And Bear Bryant. Yes, I'm picking John Wooden.
I just think that Bear Bryant means so much to football.
Oh, man.
Out of respect to Wooden, because, like I said, he's an earth-moving coach.
Yep.
Having Lou Alcindor is such a huge advantage. Mm-hmm. I got to go with the Bear.
They took the slam dunk out of the game for
Yeah, you really changed fun. Your
they
rules.
Outlawed. Because,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Bear. But, however, in a counter to your argument, professional coaches, they get people that they may not necessarily would have recruited in college, didn't have to deal with.
Right. Good point. Great point. But I'm going with the Bear, too. So the Bear has defeated John Wooden. All right. Red Auerbach versus Vince Lombardi. Pro basketball versus pro football. Mm-hmm. Big Rich.
Vince Lombardi means too much to sports, period.
All right. Well, quickly.
Lombardi. I, too, second that statement.
Who you got?
I feel like he's more of a transcendent figure of Lombardi.
Absolutely. So this is the matchup that I almost knew was we were going to have because it's football and it's us. So Bear Bryant, greatest college football coach of all time versus Vince Lombardi, greatest college football coach of all time. Real quickly, Tula, who you rolling with?
Going with my previous principal, I'm going to go with Bear Bryant.
Rich.
Got to go with Lombardi.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Gotta go with Lombardi, and you're a Cowboys fan? I know they're, like, pooping all over your head right now. Bear.
You got the Bear. Okay, so I'm going with Lombardi, too, because, again, pro football – Vince Lombardi is pro football. Again, they named the championship trophy after the man. He won the first two Super Bowls. Got to go with it. So – the champion, BTP's greatest sports coach of all time, is Vince Lombardi. And this has been a great show, folks. Thank you for joining us. This is Mitchell Brock, and we will see you next time. Take care.